Hello, everybody. A couple of things, and then I'll get up to the economy and take your questions. First of all, the president just left to attend briefings at the Pentagon. This is a routine visit for the president to go and sit with his team over there. There'll be a meeting in the tank, and you can expect he'll hear about progress being made in defense transition. I'm sure they'll talk about Afghanistan, Iraq, and other issues that are upon us, but he's not expected to make any statements upon leaving there. At 2:45, we'll have the Detroit Red Wings here in the East Room. And then this morning, as you know, the president met with his working group on financial markets. And then he announced that the Treasury would be making an announcement today to implement the tools as they see fit in regards to the action and actions also by the Federal Reserve and FDIC to help implement the rescue package that was passed. The president announced that the Treasury will begin to purchase equity shares in financial institutions so they can return to making loans to businesses and consumers. That's one of the things we've said is the main problem in our economy right now. The Treasury Department will purchase these preferred shares on attractive terms that protect the taxpayer. The FDIC will temporarily guarantee most new debt by insured banks and also cover certain transaction accounts used primarily by small businesses. These two steps will bring stability to all banks and help credit flow more freely. And the Federal Reserve will soon have its program in place to provide short-term financing for businesses and financial institutions. These agencies are taking determined actions to strengthen our financial institutions and stabilize our markets. We have also been successful in working with our international partners in both the G7 and the G20 context to coordinate our actions. In fact, as the President emphasized, all the actions we and other nations are taking are consistent with the G7 plan for action announced by finance ministers and central bank governors just 5 days ago on Friday afternoon. As you know, President Bush has been in discussions with other leaders in the G7 in recent weeks. He met with Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi yesterday, and then this morning he spoke by phone to Prime Minister Brown, Chancellor Merkel, and President Sarkozy. This comes after the meetings yesterday and the discussions regarded continued coordination efforts on the financial situation. It will still take some time for all the actions we're taking to have their full impact. And you heard from the Treasury Secretary this morning, as well as Ben Bernanke and Sheila Bair, the Fed Reserve and the FDIC respectively. We want to get into the home stretch here of implementing this rescue package so that we can return stability to our financial markets. Also, one scheduling update for you. Tomorrow morning, President Bush will meet with his cabinet at 9 a.m., and the subject will be the financial markets. I don't have, I think that will probably just be pool in the cabinet room. I don't expect separate remarks, but I'll let you know as soon as we have more details on that.
The House Democrats think that more needs to be done in the way of economic stimulus, and they're talking about as much as $300 billion. Does the President think that you need to give the economy another push with a stimulus?
Well, we'd like to see their details, what they had presented before. Couldn't pass the Congress itself, and it was not something that we thought would actually stimulate the economy and have an immediate impact. So if they want to provide some more details, we'll take a look at it. I think anything that they're talking about would not even be considered on the floor of the House until November 17th, so I don't know how urgent they necessarily think this is. We think the best way to get the economy moving is to implement this plan that the Treasury Secretary laid out today. So we'll take a look at it. Our highest priority has to be right now the economic rescue package and the implementation and getting it right so that we solve the problem in the credit markets and also protect the taxpayer at the same time.
Well, to the basic question of, you know, whatever the amount is or the details, does the White House think there's a need for another economic stimulus?
What we think is that the rescue package that we have, that Congress just passed about 10 days ago now, that we're now ready to implement, is the best way to get the economy moving again and get people back to work and to start returning this country to job growth. A lot of their discussions yesterday, as I understood it, are not necessarily items that we think would stimulate the economy. Additional benefits to individuals who may need support during an economic downturn aren't necessarily stimulative, so I think that, you know, we'll take a look at that. We've already, from the administration standpoint, we've increased the amount of food stamp availability. I think we did that back in May during that time. We also have made sure that states get that LIHEAP money, the lighting and heating assistance money, earlier than usual so that they can plan and make sure that the people who need it will get that right away. So I think that we need to look at the details very carefully about what they've proposed and what the actual effects would be.
But what about the money that they propose to spend on infrastructure repairs?
It's interesting on infrastructure repair issues and all the transportation projects. It's not just repairs, but it's these big projects. The Transportation Department has said that really it's only about 24% of any project's money that is able even to go out in the first year. And that's if the project's already approved, and we know how long it takes to get projects approved for, with all the different permits. We don't necessarily think that the transportation funding would actually stimulate the economy, create jobs right away. I mean, there's a lot of skepticism to be had, and the Transportation Department has laid that out, and we did that as recently as August.
Even though there's not much argument that is needed.
Well, I think that everybody in their districts thinks that their transportation projects are needed. One of the biggest problems we have with transportation bills is that you can prioritize all you want on the authorizing part of the ledger, but when it comes to appropriating the money, I can't remember the number, but the amount of earmarks that go towards transportation bills that actually don't go to the priority projects is a real problem.
Okay. Could you explain for Americans who are out there looking at what the president announced today and who might be a little bit confused and say, well, okay, they passed the economic rescue plan, so why do they, you know, why the shift to this? Does the administration not have faith that buying those failed mortgages is the best way to go, or are they scaling that back? How would you explain to the average viewer why you're making this?
Well, I would ask certainly that you help me as well, because when you're talking to the American people, I think it's very important to remind them, yes, we got the rescue package. Part of the rescue package was making sure that the Treasury Secretary would have flexibility to have the tools that he needed. And one of the tools that they talked about was certainly the purchasing of assets, but as was a capital injection, among a few other things. What we said at that time, and unbelievably, it was really only 10 days ago that all of this happened.
11.
But it was at 11. Of course, Mark Noller would know that. I'm not even going to question it. I know he knows. So what we said at the time is that the Treasury Department is going to have to take a little bit of time, look at these balance sheets at the different institutions. Figure out what's behind them. Figure out how much they are worth. Figure out what is the best way to spend taxpayer dollars efficiently so that we solve the problem and protect them at the same time. And the Treasury Secretary over time, over the past several weeks have developed, as the legislation got passed and the credit markets changed a little bit and we saw that terrible drop in the stock market, it was determined that one of the tools that was in the rescue package, capital injections, was the best possible way to move forward at this point. So the Treasury Secretary announced that $250 billion of the $700 billion would go towards this capital injection. I don't know how much would be used for asset purchases. That's still a part of the mix, and that's really the good thing about the rescue package is that we have this flexibility so that the experts can make sure they're making good decisions.
Was it really a need for speed that made this more of a focus versus the asset purchase? I mean, this can be done much more quickly.
I think, I don't really know. I think that you can look at it in terms of what we were seeing in the stock market was a result of what was happening in the credit markets, which was a complete freeze. And none of the banks wanted to lend to one another. This capital injection should unthaw that so that the money can start moving again, and that way we'll be able to help all Americans up and down the economic food chain.
But the asset purchase program is just more scaled back than...
Well, I don't know that they ever thought necessarily that the asset purchase program, I don't think they ever knew exactly how much it would be. Now, granted, there were some people who at the very beginning of this debate thought that capital injection would be the best possible way to go, and they would have not done any asset purchases. What the Treasury Secretary said this morning is that the $250 billion will go towards capital injections. At some point, there will be some amount, I'm assuming, that will go towards asset purchases, but that takes a little bit more time because you want to make sure that you know what you're buying, and so that when you make that purchase, that you're able to protect the taxpayer and get a return on that investment.
I just want
to... Okay. No, I'm going to go to Jeremy.
There are some complaints coming from the manufacturing sector, the National Association for Manufacturers in particular, that it's taking too long to help one of their key constituencies, the automakers, that these loans at energy, that it's very cumbersome to get these regulations drawn up plans drawn up for extending them loans. Is there any effort by the White House to sort of speed that up, accelerate that in some way?
I would remind you, as Nola reminded me, it has been 11 days since legislation passed the Congress. I know people are working as quickly as possible, and they're working with the manufacturing industry and the auto industry to provide the support they needed to get the regulations in place. The authorizing language was in there, but the rules of the road weren't all laid out in detail, and that's what's happening now. But I'd have to refer you to the Energy Department for more on that.
Is there any sort of thought upon the White House to sort of find another way to get aid to manufacturers like the automakers quicker, more quickly, such as like opening the Fed discount window?
Not that I'm aware of. One, I don't speak for the Fed, so I'd have to refer you to them to see if they are thinking about that. So I'll leave all of that over there. But let me stress that we think that the best way to help everybody, manufacturers, small business owners, consumers, retirees, those saving for college, is to get this these money markets moving again so that we can unfreeze the credit problem, get the lifeblood of our economy circulating again so that we can help everybody. And that's what we're determined to do.
Hi, Dana. A question about what you want the folks on Main Street to understand about what the president outlined today. What's the central takeaway? And I have a follow-up.
Okay. Thanks for the warning. this is what the president wants everyone to know, that the government is determined to use the tools that it has at its disposal because of the rescue package to help save this economy. And we are working in a coordinated fashion with the G7 partners and the G20 to make sure that everything that we are doing will help prevent any problems from hurting any other country, because one thing that we've all learned from this is how interconnected all of us are. So we're committed, we're going to use the tools, we're going to use bold and decisive action to make sure that we protect American taxpayers and we can get this economy moving again. I'm sure that there are people out there who are very concerned, retirees who have been watching with great interest, I'm sure, what's happened in the stock market, who are very concerned about their futures, baby boomers who are about to retire or want to retire in the next few years, who are concerned about their futures. Then you have, all up and down the economic food chain, as I've said, you have students who are probably concerned about, will they be able to get a job? And we believe that the best way to do this is to implement the rescue package. We're only 11 days from the signing of the bill. We'll continue to push for it, but we're moving as quickly as we possibly can. And the markets are responding.
Yeah, they appear to be doing that. Let me ask you about the credit card ticking time bomb. A lot of people said that when the mortgage problems began, it was a trickle of defaults and a growing, cascading avalanche of defaults. The problem in the credit card market now appears to be that we may be looking at something similar to that as the economy continues to teeter. I'm wondering, do you envision a large-scale bailout necessary for that marketplace as well?
I don't know. I'd have to refer you to the Treasury Department, but I believe in the rescue package legislation that was passed, part of buying troubled assets would include credit cards, I believe. So let me refer you over there for the specifics. Outside of the current rescue package that we have, I don't know of anything else. We think that the plan that we have is big enough to work. John?
Can you talk about the conversations the president had with the other leaders this morning? And also, is there any sense that the U.S. was kind of, in a way, forced to do some of the things it did by the actions that the U.K. and other European governments have?
Remember, the president met with the G7 on Friday. This follows all of his staff and his team, Secretary Paulson and others, talking with their counterparts in those countries. Then he met with the G20 on Saturday night. Then Europe moved forward with its plan, but we were coordinated. It was important for us to be able to meet with those large institutions yesterday, that the Secretary of the Treasury held that meeting over there at the Treasury Department, because we needed to understand, we needed them to understand the plan and gauge their willingness to participate in the plan. They all agreed to. And so it just took us a day to do that, but it was all well-coordinated amongst the other groups. So what the president talked about today with those leaders is, one, thank them for the coordination, two, talked about the importance of not letting up, but continuing to communicate and talk amongst one another. And then he saw, obviously, Silvio Berlusconi last night, had a good meeting. The Prime Minister will head back to Italy soon, and then he'll be able to continue leadership on his behalf amongst Angela Merkel, Chancellor Merkel, Prime Minister Gordon Brown. They're all moving in lockstep. But the other thing that's important to remember is that each country is going to have individual problems. None of this coordination restricts activity by any one country, but the coordination helps us make sure that one action isn't inadvertently or advertently hurting another country.
Dana, can you give any estimate as to how long it'll take for the plan to reach full impact? Both you and the president were vague, only saying it will take time.
I think that it will take time, and I just have to refer you to the Secretary of the Treasury for that. For those of you who have covered Washington, 11 days is like a record in terms of how quickly we've moved to implement these rules, and we have to do so prudently to make sure that we protect the taxpayer, but we also get this right.
Are taxpayers really protected if the borrowing that the Treasury will have to do to get the money to give to the banks is going to increase the deficit and the national debt, and taxpayers will have to pay interest on the money the government borrows?
Well, there's no doubt that the deficit is going to go up. We have said that, and you'll have more from Jim Nussel today at 4 p.m. when they announce their estimate. But the best way to protect all taxpayers and to deal with the deficit is to get this economy moving again and return to growth. Over here to Ann, and I'll work my way back.
According to some of those who were part of the banking meeting yesterday, they were not all enthusiastic about signing up initially. And the president's dealing with banks, with the allies, with Congress. Has he felt any impact of related to his relatively low, historic low job approval rating in the country? Mm-hmm. Has that had any impact or been any disadvantage to him?
The president is focused on leading. He doesn't focus on the approval ratings. And yeah, I wasn't in the meeting yesterday, but I would imagine that there was probably some reluctance to move forward with this, but a willingness to do it because everyone recognizes that we have to do it in order to protect everybody and to get this economy moving again. So sure, there's not a soul that wanted to have to do this, but if we're going to do it, we better do it right, and we better implement the legislation in a way that gets it done appropriately. This legislation got passed. This legislation is being implemented. The banks are going to participate in this program, and they have an incentive to get the government out of their business. We'll have a quarterly dividend that comes back to the American taxpayer at a 5% rate for the first 3 years. That jumps to 9% after those first 3 years. And so they have every incentive to work very hard, get their get their businesses back up to par, and return to normalcy.
Has the president felt any impact from the poll numbers that are out this week giving him a historically low job approval rating? It hasn't had any impact on his dealing with foreign leaders or with Congress?
Well, I think that if anybody who saw the statements yesterday by Prime Minister Berlusconi and others, all the conversations he's had, the United States is the one helping to provide the leadership necessary to steer the ship so that we can all save our economies. And that's what this president is focused on. He's not focused on the approval ratings, as a lot of the media are. Go ahead, Paula.
Some of this economic plan arguably is not stimulus.
Is what?
Some of it is not aimed to be stimulative, but basically to fill the time gap for people whose unemployment checks are running out, for people who need food stamps. Because if you say the assistance of food stamps was based on the need for it in May, times have changed. So
we make adjustments all the time. The Department of Agriculture would have more information, but we make adjustments, and there's reserves to be able to help increase if necessary.
But as you said, there will be time. It will take time to trickle down to people at the bottom of the food chain, I think that's how you put it. So what is the alternative for them, particularly those who are running out of unemployment?
As I said, Paula, I think I've already answered your question. I answered your question last week. Tony Fratto answered it the week before. It's the same question every time. I'm not going to have a different answer for you. The Congress is not here. We're not going to move forward. Look, we have the assistance that we have provided through LIHEAP, through food stamps, and there's unemployment benefits. But one of the things that we want to do is make sure that people return to work, and we're going to continue pushing for that. Victoria?
In the president's conversations about the direct injections into banks, was there anything in particular that put him over the top to support it?
Well, he trusts his team, and his team came in and told him that this is what we think that we need to do in order to get the economy moving. The markets responded favorably yesterday to that news and today, and the president thinks it was the right thing to do. So what pushed him over the edge was having the right formulation.
You said the president wants to provide leadership in these regards, but wasn't it the Europeans and the British who took the lead over the weekend doing the very same thing the president
did? They were able to move first. Did you move first because they were talking to their partners, but it was President Bush met on... I'm not in a competition with the Europeans as to who was first or who wasn't. I'm not going to play the game either, because I think that all of the leaders, would say that the amount of coordination and cooperation amongst them is at a level unprecedented, and a very good cooperative tone has been struck. So, hold on, please. I lost my train of thought. Sorry. What was the question?
Struck, okay.
I'm sure it was brilliant. April.
I'm so sorry, I'm quite sure what. Two things. You said, answering Ann's question, you said there will be a quarterly dividend. One thing that we found in the last few months, nothing is guaranteed. What is the guarantee, and what are the contingency plans in case this does not happen as planned?
I'm afraid of the Treasury Department, as I understand it, there's a guaranteed 5% dividend for the first 3 years.
What guarantees is that?
I don't know. You'll have to connect with them, and they're the ones who work out the agreements with the bank.
Okay, and then also, you said this was done in an expeditious fashion for Washington in 11 days. What things were put on the back burner to make this happen? I mean, you know, this is the White House, things happen all around the world, you've got your hands on everything, but something had to be pulled back or delegated somewhere else.
At the White House, you don't have the luxury of even having a back burner. Go ahead.
Really?
Member?
Why President Bush excluded Greece from visa waiver program?
Why did he exclude Greece? I don't know. I have to have you check with the State Department.
No, the chef of the State Department had to check here. Because
oh, really?
The council.
Playing that game? I'll check for you. I didn't come prepared with my Greece waiver. Rich?
Amy, you said that some were for the capital injection at the beginning of the negotiations. Can you describe the president's feelings about that from the beginning, and whether this was a particularly difficult move for him to make?
I don't think the president necessarily weighed in with an opinion either way. He was listening to his experts, and he was directing them to ask the tough questions and make sure that they found the right tools. But he was glad that the rescue package, and he insisted on the rescue package having the flexibility so that as this dynamic situation evolved, they would be able to address it with the tools that they had. So that's what the rescue package provides. But I don't remember him ever saying specifically in meetings that I had, but just asking a lot of questions to make sure that they were going to prescribe the right remedy for the illness that we had.
Dana?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you. Two questions. House Minority Leader John Boehner said, quote, "The latest allegations of voter registration fraud by Acorn are further evidence that this group cannot be trusted with another dollar of taxpayers' money." And my question, does the President agree or disagree with Mr. Boehner?
I don't know anything. I don't have specific information about that group, but what I can tell you is that the integrity of the vote is essential to our democracy, and the Justice Department investigates where needed, but they don't comment on those investigations, and I can't either.
Okay. ABC reports that despite pledges by President Bush and American officials to the contrary, hundreds of U.S. citizens overseas have been eavesdropped on as they telephoned friends and family back home, according to two former military and intercept operators at the NSA Center at Fort Gordon, Georgia. And my question, does the White House dispute or admit this ABC report?
I don't have facts on that in terms of what the NSA would or would not have done, but what I can tell you is that the tools that we have should always be used appropriately and lawfully, and if there was misconduct, it should be investigated.
I want to follow up on the calls from this morning with the European leaders. Did the subject of an emergency G7, G8 meeting come up, or is that now off the table at this stage?
No one's ever said it's off the table, but we don't have a definitive date. I think that in the future we'll see if we can pull something together like that, but right now everybody's been very focused on the immediate issues at hand. The President remains open to meeting at a head of state level.
Thank you.
I have one more from Olivier, sorry.
That actually was the question I had.
Brilliant. Sorry, Sam. Come on up, Sam. You missed Sam.